This morning we continue our study with the lessons on the life of Christ. Much happened before Jesus came to this earth. And much happened before his earthly ministry of about three and a half years of his total life of 33 years. It was a number of prophecies that were made in the Old Testament that said someone's coming. Again and again from some of these prophets we have information that someone was coming, and it didn't say exactly when. Daniel gave some clues for those who were excellent Bible students, I suppose, if they were able to look into the future. But not being able to look into the future as God was, they weren't able to narrow down exactly when the time would come. But he came in the fullness of time, according to Galatians 4, verse 4. And that happened to be during a period of time that the Roman Empire was in charge of and in control of the Middle East, of the areas around the Mediterranean Sea. That made it much easier because of one government, basically one language, Greek, a universal language at that time that could be spoken. Road systems and other things made it somewhat the fullness of time. Plus, it seems as if the Jews, who were God's people under the law, of course, were the ones to whom were gone the first time, initially. Jesus, being a Jew of the tribe of Judah, spoke to Jews much during his life, some Samaritans, some Gentiles at times, but primarily to the Jews. And then the church was founded by preaching and teaching to the Jews initially before other nations. So much preparation was made from the Old Testament times, the prophets and prophecies fulfilled during the first century, during the time that Christ came to this earth. The initial or additional preparation was made as John the Baptist was prophesied to come in the form of Elijah, or similar somewhat to Elijah, as he would go forth with a message that they need to prepare to meet God, need to prepare for the coming of the Lord, the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom. We read in Matthew 1:21 concerning Jesus, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So said the angel to Joseph in a dream, Matthew 1:21. And also in that same chapter, Matthew 1:23, Matthew speaks of a prophecy made by Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14, where Isaiah said concerning this son that would be born of a virgin, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So we learn something of this one that was born, this Jesus, Jesus meaning Savior. Emmanuel, meaning that God was with us at that time. John the Baptist would call him Lord as he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Matthew 3, verse 3. If you recall from our last lesson, after Jesus' baptism, we know the heavens were open and the Holy Spirit descended as a dove, and voice from heaven spoke, said, this is my beloved son. So we had additional information about this one who had come to earth and lived in this earth, and lived in an earthly body. God said, he's my son. Later at the transfiguration in Matthew 17, he would say, in addition to that, in whom I am well pleased. Well, he said it here too, and he would say it again in Matthew 17. At the transfiguration, and he would add in that instance, hear ye him, hear ye him. Savior, Emmanuel, Lord, God's Son, all were terms used to refer to the same one, to Jesus Christ. All are descriptive of him, of his purpose, of his coming, of his relationship both with man and with God. And in today's lesson, I want us to look at another term, another word that was used, a descriptive word, that was used to tell us a little, that tells us a little bit more about Jesus. Remember, John preached that the kingdom would come. The kingdom would come. Jesus sent many out teaching that the kingdom would come. His message had to do with the coming of the kingdom. As we're going to the Beatitudes of Matthew 5, he talks about those who would be in the kingdom. Well, what about this kingdom? How would people get into his kingdom? How would people grow in his kingdom? Jesus, if he was to carry out his work of seeking and saving the lost, how was he going to do it? How was he going to start that work? The work of being a savior, of bringing subjects into his kingdom. Now, the world at that time had a different idea of the ways that he could do it. He could do it by force. They could see that in the miracles that he would later perform as he got into his ministry. But I want to go to John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, as we get that term from the mouth of one by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, thought perhaps to be a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews. So here was a Jew coming to Jesus, and one of the Pharisees, one of the strictest sect of the Jews, or group of the Jews, and he came to Jesus and he spoke to Jesus. In verses 2 and 3 of John 3, John records this for us. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. Well, if he was a teacher come from God, then we ought to learn from his teachings. We can. We can learn not only what he taught, though, we can learn something about how he taught. In those verses, in John 3, 1 and 2, we have Nicodemus recognizing that he not only was a teacher, but he was a teacher come from God. And that would distinguish him from their rabbis or from their scribes who were teachers, or from the Pharisees or any of the other Jewish leaders. Now, early in his ministry, we read this about Jesus in Matthew 4 and verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So he went about teaching, went about preaching. So that's, and it was the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. And we can learn about how we should live in the kingdom and how we should grow in the kingdom. And how we should teach others to grow in the kingdom, or how we should teach others to become a part of that kingdom. By looking at Jesus. What kind of teacher was he? He was a teacher come from God. So he was a great teacher. He was a master teacher. For he was a teacher come from God. But Jesus, as we look at it, we want to look at some of the aspects of the where he went about teaching. He took advantage of all opportunities to teach. He didn't let time, he didn't say, now you come on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and at 10 o'clock and we'll study together. That wasn't the way of doing things. He did go into the synagogue and several times. Luke chapter 4 says he went into the synagogue in his hometown. And stood up to expound and or sit down, I think, to expound the scriptures after they've been read. And let them know that today the particular scripture that he referred to in the Old Testament was being fulfilled. And people's mouths opened, and he wasn't received too well in his hometown, he said. He said, that's a problem sometimes with hometown boys. They're not received too well in the hometown, so he had to move on and preach and teach at other places. So we learn much from him. He was always teaching people. Luke 9:1947, after he cast out the money changers, maybe for the second time, some say it was done twice, after casting out those money changers from the temple, it says this, he taught daily in the temple. He taught daily in the temple. That was one of the things he did when he was in Jerusalem. Now, he wasn't in Jerusalem all that much during the time of his three and a half years of his ministry. Usually people say three and a half years because in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by studying them, you find that there were three Passovers during his ministry, time of his ministry. Matthew 26:55. To those who came to the Garden of Gethsemane and to take him by force, he said this to them. Matthew 26:55. I sat daily with you teaching in the temple. So he'd been in the temple many, many different times. And he appeals to them. He said, and you laid no hold on me then. What's going on here? I taught in the temple. Of course, they were afraid of the people. There were a lot of people in there that would have probably jumped all over them if religious leaders had officers to take him there. They had to get him out kind of by himself when he was with the 12. And didn't have a big crowd of people that might rise up in insurrection, a revolution or something against the Jewish leaders. But he taught in all places and in all circumstances. And I tried to just remember a few of those. You remember in John chapter 4, they were thirsty. He and the disciples were thirsty. They wanted to drink water. They came to a well site in Sychar, which was in Samaria. There was a woman there that was drawing water, and he talked to her about that, got some water from her. And then he talked to her about living water. Living water. Also, later in that fourth chapter, he talked about God being a spirit, and they that worship him would worship him in spirit and in truth. Because she spoke of worshiping God in the mountain in Samaria. And Jesus said, well, there's a time coming when people will worship God as a spirit and worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, he taught from a mountainside, according to Matthew chapter 5. That great sermon on the mount there, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You are the light of the world. And he taught this from a mountainside. He walked through a grain field. His disciples plucked corn from the field on a Sabbath day. Well, he got an opportunity to teach them because the Pharisees jumped him. Because he said that they told him they wasn't supposed to do that. And Jesus said to those who questioned him, said the Sabbath is made for man and not man for the Sabbath. He taught in the synagogues. So he not only taught in the temple area, but he taught in the synagogues. That's where people had gathered, Matthew 4:23, we just read a few minutes ago. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue. Remember Paul, when he went on his missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, they went to the synagogue because that's where the people were. And initially, they would many times, and most of the time, if there was a synagogue in town, they would go into the synagogue. The Jews had been God's people during the period of time for which the law was serving, it was still serving that time up until the death of Jesus. But later Paul would still go there because Jews were still meeting there, and it was to them that the promises were made. They knew about the promises. They were the ones that knew about the law and knew the Old Testament and had seen and heard and read about those promises. And so Jesus would go into their synagogues. He taught in boats. Had an opportune time one time when Matthew 8:23, he and his disciples were out in a boat and the winds got got to raising the problems of boisterous waves were coming up, and Jesus was sound asleep. And the disciples were kind of quivering and shaking, I guess, in their fear. And they woke him, and he said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why are you fearful? Oh, ye of little faith." So he questioned them about their faith, and he had an object lesson or a perfect time to teach. So he used all places and circumstances to teach. He taught them that, you know, the Lord is with you. The Lord is at hand, I think Paul said over in Philippians chapter 4. He employed every known method of teaching. We'll just look at a few of those. I know in a study that I'd done before, had a great number listed. But as we mentioned before, he taught by sermon. When a great number of people were gathered together, he didn't just, repeat a short parable and then and say, "See you next week," or whatever. If they were there and they were attentive, and he held their attention. We're going to talk about that in a minute. He held their attention. And so he had a sermon that I don't know how long it lasted, but it's Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is where it's recorded. And in Luke, I don't know whether it was the same sermon, because of what's taught there in 5, 6, and 7, it's likely he taught it again and again and again. Why not? Why not? The crowds changed. As time goes on, people change. And so sometimes you teach the same lesson. I thought he did a good job first time. Why change it, you know? He had a good outline. I'm being facetious. But it was taught again and again. He taught by parables. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13 is chock full of parables. And if I can focus that, I've got it here. I've got a number of markers here, and if I just find it, I'm all right. Look at verse 33. This is where the parable of the sower, it appears in this particular chapter. The parable and an explanation. But here we have a real short parable, verse 33. "Another parable spake ye unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto." He always speaking about the kingdom. Always about the kingdom. "The kingdom of heaven is like." People like what is like. I can understand something. You can say, "Well, he hit his head on that whatever thing." Well, what's that like? What's that? I don't know what that word means. What is it like? Well, tell us something that's more familiar with it. "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven." Well, we don't know much about leaven these days. So we read about it probably. I don't know much about it at all. I do know you can put it in whatever. It's got yeast in it and causes bread to rise and goes throughout it. "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened." That's all he said. But you got a whole lot to think about, haven't you? A whole lot to think about. Matthew records this. Said, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them." So he had these parables sprinkled throughout the different speeches or the different talks that he made, teaching when he was teaching, that he would put a parable in there, because a parable was a parable. That'd be a good thing. It literally means a placing alongside of. Now, the thing that sticks with me is it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, if I didn't get that backwards, that's the way it is. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Sometimes I say it backwards and it sounds just as good, but it's wrong. But it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So when you're reading a parable, you're reading an earthly story. Now, it had more meaning to those people back then, because he was teaching those people right then. And so he taught them with the familiar. He'd see somebody. He knew about the women making the bread. He knew about the sower going out in the field and sowing seed. As they walked about, they would see this. And so he taught. All these things spake Jesus into parables, a multitude in parables. Without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. This is prophesied concerning Jesus. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And so he taught in parables. He taught by asking questions. Matthew 21, 23 through 27. Chief priests and elders came to him and wanted to know by what authority he did the things that he did. Look at Matthew 21. I think I've got it marked here. Matthew 21, 23 down through 27. When he was coming to the temple, here he is in the temple, chief priests and elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you teaching? By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave you that authority? You think they were there sincerely? Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing. For this is the way he sought to answer them. I'll ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I'll likewise tell you, but what authority I do these things. Oh, it wouldn't have hurt the fun to have told them the authority, but we wanted to teach them something else. The baptism of John, whence was it? Think about it, he said. From heaven or men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not believe him? And if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. He got them caught between a rock and a hard place, didn't he? So they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. We cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. So he taught using different methods, different ways of teaching. Taught by asking questions. And Jesus adapted his methods a lot of times to, and I guess all times, to the individual that he's speaking to. When he was speaking to the Pharisees, who he knew to be hypocrites, he knew that they were putting up a front, that they were one thing, when really they were something else within. He denounced them, he condemned them, he exposed them in Matthew 23, 1 through 23. We won't read that, but read that chapter just again. Woe unto you Pharisees who do this and do that, but inside you're full of dead men's bones, he said. He said, you look like whited sepulchres on the outside. You look like grave sites that's been updated with a fresh coat of whitewash. But you're not that pretty on the inside. You're not that clean on the inside. He taught people as they were able to learn. Matthew 4:33 said, with many such parables spake the word unto them as they were able to hear it. You know, there are certain things that we're not able to hear at certain age in our lives or at a certain time in our learning of God's Word. There are certain things, you might, and if you were like me when I was back in college, I thought I knew practically or could learn practically anything. But when I raised my hand and wanted to know what one thing was, I was told pretty quick. Teacher came up with, well, you don't know how to be a grandpa. Of course, I was 19 years old. I was silenced. I didn't even know how to be a father. I wasn't even married. I didn't know hardly how to ask a girl out on a date, Jerry, you know. So he got me on that. I didn't. So there are things that we don't learn. There are things I'm picking up in the Bible as I read it now that I've never picked up before. So I don't go back totally blind to an outline I've used in the past or a few points I've used in the past and think that that's all that can ever be learned or said on that particular subject. Nor do I think it now. to the disciples in John 16, 12, he said, I yet have many things to say to you, but cannot begin, or you cannot bear them now. Jesus, he told them a few times that he was going to be crucified, and on the third day he's going to be raised. Why this won't happen to you? Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter said, I'll take care of him. Took off Malchus's ear with his sword. Peter was carrying around a sword. He was going to be ready. The big fisherman didn't just fish. He knew how to use a sword. To the woman at the well, he talked with great tact about the husbands that she'd had. In John 14, or John 4, 16 through 18. Luke 7, 44 through 46, he was invited to a man's house by the name of Simon. Simon did not give him any water or anything to take care of the dirty feet he had. They traveled, they wore sandals. And it was a custom to wash the person's feet who came into your house, or at least give them water to wash their feet. And yet there was a woman there that Simon said was a sinner. And she washed Jesus' feet, the Bible says, with her tears, and dried his feet with her hair. And Jesus chastised Simon all about that. He used that opportunity to teach. This Simon was a Pharisee, and he was strictly thinking about what that Jesus didn't know. As a prophet, he was supposed to be a prophet. He didn't even know this woman was a sinner. He was more concerned with the woman being a sinner than doing the proper thing as a host in his hospitality. To the thirsty, Jesus spoke of the living water, John 4. He spoke of the bread of life to those who were hungry in John chapter 6. But he wasn't talking about something they could physically eat. He was talking about himself, about it. A good moral man by the name of Nicodemus, Jesus spoke of a new birth. He didn't dwell on the fact that Nicodemus thought he was a great teacher come from God. He taught the new birth. To the publicans, to the tax collectors who were hated by all, in a parable in Luke 18, 9 through 14, Luke 18, 9, he spoke to this man, according to the way the man prayed, of penitence. Talked to him of mercy. What about the nature of Jesus' teaching? Well, his teaching was simple. A lot of times I was in the Bible class this morning. I showed a class a book that I had written by a fellow named Yates back in the 20s. And he's got $10 words in there, even with two or three syllables, words that I never heard of. He got long words, you know, words of four, five syllables. Jesus didn't use those type of words. And when he spoke to people, people got the point. Example, the Pharisees, he called them hypocrites in Matthew 21. Look at Matthew 21 again. I still got it open, 42 through 46. Matthew 21, 42 through 46. He's speaking to Pharisees, chief priests. These were the so-called leaders of the Jews. Beginning in 42, verse 42, Matthew 21. Jesus said unto them, did you ever read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Speaking, of course, of the Gentiles. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind into powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, that we may not have gotten the point, but they perceived that he spoke of them. They perceived that he spoke, they understood. And when they sought to lay hands on him, you think they were trying to impart some spiritual gift to him? No, they were going to kill him. When they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. They feared the people. They feared the people. He used simple words. He used short sentences. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Read
just a verse or two there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Look at the short words and the 1, 2, and 3 syllable words. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If I'm right, there's not, but there are no words in there over 2 syllables. I may be wrong, but I think that's right. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, comforted looks like it's got more than 2 syllables, but we know what those words mean. Now, sometimes in the King James, we may not know exactly, but they knew what those words meant. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those are words that you can pick up on. They're not long words trying to stump. You're the light of the world, Jesus said. You're the salt of the earth. Words, they knew what a light was. They knew what salt was. They just didn't know what people were going to be in the kingdom. What do you expect of me, Jesus? If I'm to be of your kingdom, what do you expect? I expect you to be a light. Just like a light set on the hill cannot be hid. I expect you to shine forth in the community. And people can see your good works. Sower went forth to sow. They saw that every spring, I guess. He talked with one with authority. On one occasion, officers were sent by chief priests and Pharisees to apprehend Jesus in chapter 7 of the book of John. And they went and listened to Jesus, these officers did, and they went away without him. They didn't take him. They went back, and the chief priest and Pharisee says, why haven't you brought him? You know what? This is the way they answered. Never man spake like this man. In other words, we stayed there and listened in rapt attention. The conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, you remember what the writer John wrote about this, or Matthew wrote about this situation? He said, when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. When he spoke with authority. Now, whether that authority was heard in the ring of his voice, the use of the words, or the fact that he had performed a miracle and they knew he was who he claimed to be, a teacher come from God. What were the effects of his teaching? Well, his teachings astonished people, just like we just read. Luke 20:26 says, they marveled at his answer. Whatever was being discussed there, they marveled at his answer. They were amazed. Mark 1:22, again, people were astonished at his doctrine, what he was teaching. He held people's attention was another fact. Luke 19:47-48, as he was talking to people there, said all the people were very attentive to hear him. Now, that didn't happen all the time, but they were on that occasion. And like I said, in John 7, verse 46, those officers went back and said, you know, you just got to hear him. Never a man spake like that man. He silenced his critics a number of occasions. One occasion, the Sadducees discussing something with him, Matthew 22:34, and the Bible says he put to silence the Sadducees. He put the Sadducees to silence. Matthew 22:22, when they heard these things, they marveled and left him and went their way. People were amazed and astonished. Sometimes he even drew reluctant praise from those who were critical of him. You know, that doesn't happen a whole lot. But certain of the scribes answered him on one occasion and said, Master, concerning the little thing he just said, thou hast said well. Talking about things from the law, a quote probably from the Old Testament, Luke 20, verse 13. In John chapter 7:15, they ask questions. How knows this man such learning or such wisdom, having never studied? They knew he hadn't gone to, you know, the University of Jerusalem or sat at the feet of the mayor or whatever, and yet
Yet his teachings were amazing. His doctrine was marvelous. He spoke with authority. And he confirmed those miracles as he performed miracles. Nicodemus had said earlier, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him." Jesus, the master of all teaching situations, he took advantage of opportunities to teach. We can learn from all these things we talked about this morning, that Jesus took advantage of opportunities to teach. We have opportunities. Opportunities, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's someone in our own household, our husband or wife or a child, we have opportunities. Now, we can't just teach your husband or your wife or some kinfolk by lecturing. Now, you may have to use a parable. You may have to use some other method of teaching. It may have to do with the way you live in addition to maybe something that you say in a certain situation. He used every known method of teaching and adapted his teaching to his listeners, to those he was talking to, whether it be an individual or whether it be a great crowd. His teachings were simple. His teachings were with authority. People paid attention. He astonished people with his teaching. And when he was criticized, many times even his own critics, some were silenced. Many were positive toward and drew praise, gave praise to Jesus, even though they didn't agree with him necessarily. Jesus, the master teacher, for he was a teacher come from God. This morning, if you are here and not a Christian, why not come to Jesus today? Come to Jesus if you have faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, having studied from God's Word and having that faith developed. And based on that faith, you're willing to repent of your sins and confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized into Christ for the remission of those sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Rise from baptism according to Romans chapter 6, 3 through 5, and walk in newness of life. A new creature, Paul says to the church at Corinth. A new creature. A new creation. If you're a Christian, you need our prayers. We'd be glad to pray with you, pray for you, or if you wish to rededicate your life to Christ. If you need to get your life right with Christ, you're a Christian, you've fallen away from the church, and you need to get things right with God, why not do it today as we stand, as we sing?